Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to cover the 11/11 phenomena that has been going worldwide. I guess this started way back. God, I'm trying to remember whose name it was. I don't know, it'll pop in. But we've been watching this. People have been having 11/11 pop up on their clocks, and they automatically just turn around. They're seeing it everywhere. And supposedly it's a stargate or some kind of a portal or an opening, some kind of angelic opening. Everybody has different messages for this event. And, you know, the way I see it, whenever enough people agree on something and gather together, and their beliefs are going to create, you know, a vortex or an opening, whatever you want to call it. And if they do the right types of meditations where they can anchor in this higher consciousness and energy, you know, obviously they're going to have, you know, a major experience. So, you know, I'm all for any event, you know, whether you put 11/11 on it or world healing meditation or, you know, healing the earth, meditation. There's so many different ceremonies around this. You know, it could be a Native American ceremony, sweat lodges. You know, I can name over and over all the different, you know, types of ceremonies, but, you know, that would go on forever. But anyway, the way I look at it is that a lot of people participated worldwide in this event, in this opening, and focused on, you know, world peace and ushering in unity consciousness, which we are right smack in the middle of that wave of energy. You know, a lot of people are saying the Mayan calendar ended on October 28th, and so that's the end of everything, and that's not true. It continues. You know, we're on a spiral, and this spiral is expanding into greater states of awareness, and we are moving up, you know, this vibrational continuum. We are under a vibrational and awakening and healing process, a lifting. So, you know, basically it's continuing. It's a spiral fashion. There's ever increasing spirals of energy coming into the planet right now, and we're in that process. And there's sometimes when these energies are greater than others, and there's better times to hold ceremonies than others. You know, that when you work with the natural frequencies or the natural evolutionary processes, and a lot of times if you're sensitive, you'll just know, you know, your inner guidance will tell you, you know, you're in the middle of a major lifting or a major shift, and it creates, you know, kind of a time where people are exalted into states of love and joy and bliss, you know, and they feel all this wonderful energy come in, and they're crown chakras light up and their hearts start opening up and they start having all these experiences. And then sometimes it's followed by a low where your body has to catch up and the world in which you live have to catch up with this new frequency. So it's really important to know that we are going back and forth between the calm and the chaos, or, you know, it's a matter of semantics. Whenever you increase the energy, one form lets go, or one system lets go, and a new system, you know, takes its place. But you have chaos in between. So we have to, you know, kind of factor that in, not be so hard on ourselves. Is that you are going to experience some incredible highs during these shifts, and you're going to have a lot of life changing experiences, and have to make some major changes in your life, and that's just the way it is with this process. It's an unstoppable process. It's a necessary process. And, you know, if we are going to continue on this planet, we do really need to wake up and change the system. One of the things I wanted to talk about is Thrive. The new movie came out, Thrive. We watched a good portion of it, but right when it got to the solutions, it just cut off. And I guess there's so many people watching it, which is a good thing, that it's, you know, it's really getting out there, and I guess the website's getting hammered, you know, the live stream. But be that as it may, it's a very powerful message, and I was amazed at the courage of Foster Gamble and Kimberly and putting their neck out and just really calling it like it is and going to the core problems of the planet and who's behind the core problems. So you know, it's a major, just a major movie that's going to get out there. And I think it's going to, you know, really wake some people up to see what they're participating in and maybe a way out of that. So we can, you know, get the course of humanity. We can get off this downward spiral into social, economic, and environmental collapse, which some groups would like to take us, and shift it on the upward spiral where everybody can thrive, not just the elite or just a few. So it's a very, very good movie on that aspect. I haven't seen the end of it, you know, hopefully we can watch that soon as soon as things calm down. But that is good news. The website is, the live streaming is getting overloaded. That means a lot of people are watching this movie, and it's perfect timing, you know, to bring this out with all the bankster shenanigans, you know, the Monsanto shenanigans, you know, all the chemtrails. I mean, it covers just about everything and shows where all these things fit into the big plan. But amazing movie. I can't tell people, you know, enough to that they really need to watch this movie. And then after that, do your own investigation. Go deeper down the rabbit hole and look into the things that they're talking about in this movie. It's very important. I know that, you know, I spent 2 days down there doing an interview with them, and I gave them some very good information. I don't know if it's in the movie. I haven't seen it yet. The only part I saw where I played was talking about the ships and their drives, and that was about it. But we covered everything in the interview. I'm not sure if it's going to be in there. But gave some very concise solutions, and we got to the solution section, and everything crashed. But hopefully, you know, that information will get out there. But they had some really good speakers come in and defined, you know, what's going on, how we can turn this around. And hopefully in the solution section, the rest of the information will come out. But anyway, be that as it may, the show today that we really wanted to cover is, you know, 11/11, and how did you participate in 11/11, and what it meant to you? You know, how did it affect you in your daily life or not affect you? I know there's some people that I keep getting emails from people, you know, the naysayers going, I didn't feel a thing, you know, I'm still here, the Mayan calendar ended, you know, so what, you know, and I keep getting these emails, you know, that that imply that the world is going to end on October 28th or whatever, which was never the case. That was never the cause. It was just a calendar with cycles and some very accurate cycles of energy and shifts going on. And it's the end of one calendar or one major cycle, and I'm sure the cycles are going to continue. And the awakening and healing process is going to continue, and the Earth's healing is going to continue. It's definitely not done yet, you know, so you know, it's very clear we're not done. I mean, we're not totally living in peace and harmony. We haven't reconnected with, you know, our star nations on a collective level. You know, we haven't chosen to live, you know, according to universal peace and brother, sister, love and prosperity for all. You know, we haven't really made it there yet. So obviously, we're still in a growth process, and this cycle is continuing. So that being said, I've got some guests here that have had some wonderful experiences during the 11/11 here at ESETI, and I'd like to bring some of them on just to talk about, you know, what they want to share during this process, this 11/11 awakening process, and what it meant to them. So I believe we've got Giovanni first on the show. Are you with us?
Yes, I am, James.
Great. How are you? Yeah, James? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. I want to first say thank you very much for inviting me up here. This is, speaking of life-changing events, this has been that for me. It's meant a lot to me to be called here during this time. I spent a lot of time up here last year and this year, but this event is really encompassed just about everything I've ever experienced up here, and it's sent it right off the, you know, right off the roof. I'm having a wonderful time. There's some wonderful people here. You've brought a really broad spectrum of very insightful young and old people here. I should say, to use the word old, but it's just been unbelievable. I want to say to all the people out there that that if you haven't been to this ranch yet and you can make it happen and manifest it, do it, because it's probably one of the few experiences in my life that has really, it's just opened me up so much that everything has just changed. My life has changed. You speak of the portal is wide open. My chakras are all open, and my head is just beaming right now. But I'm so pleased to be here, and thank you and Pam and the family for inviting me back.
You're welcome.
You spoke of that movie.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about the meditations that you're involved in and how the experiences you had during the meditations.
Oh, yes. We had a meditation, I believe it was Friday, yeah, on 11-11. It was intimate. There was only about a dozen of us in here. But the energy was just incredible up here in the meditation room. And the vision that I had that came to me was that we were all these lights. And I never really have visual meditations, but this was, we were all lights, and we just, we became light beings. And then I felt the plasma come in, and this, it was like clouds just swaying and suing around us. It was just unbelievable. And we began, I guess you could say we were speaking in baby talk or tongues, but we were just babbling on and on and on. It was just unbelievable. I'm usually not speechless. Anybody that knows me knows I don't shut up sometimes. But this meditation was just too much. My head just opened up, and anything that I hadn't experienced here was fulfilled then. And I've just been walking around on a cloud since I've been here, and it's been this way continuously. The weather right now, it's kind of cool. We had a little snow last night and everything, so it's not normally what I'm used to. This is the latest I've ever been up here in season. But the whole experience up here, the mountain looks beautiful. The energy's great. I don't know what else to say other than that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to really speak too much. I just want to let you know that this has been a wonderful experience, and I want to just let some of these other people that are definitely much more enlightened and speaking, get their chance. But
what would your advice be to people, for the rest of the year, concerning, what they're going through or experiencing or whatever?
Well, what I'm going through and what I would advise, I've been going through some medical situations with my body, and it isn't anything negative. I feel my body's been processing this change. I feel my body transmuting. And I've been having, some medical problems, but nothing that's critical or nothing serious other than, just difficulties. And with the way the sun's been, with the last week with, eight M flares and one X flare, and, one moment I would feel bliss, and the next minute I would be in pain, extreme pain. But I think a lot of us, from what I've, the people I've spoken to here are going through these changes. A lot of people are having physical difficulties as well as, blissful moments. But this mm-hmm. year, the way I see it coming, it's only going to accelerate. And the only thing we can do is just allow it to happen. You can't resist this. There's no resisting. Mm-hmm. I plan on bringing in this 2012 year full speed ahead. And mm-hmm. A few of my friends told me that, things were going to accelerate, and I didn't really believe this. I've always believed that things were going to be more gradual. But my strongest belief right now is that I don't see negative things anymore in my mind happening on this earth. I know there's going to be earth changes. I know there's going to be, some changes with our banking system, with our government, but I don't see the resistance that a lot of people are projecting. I see changes in everyday people on, where I live, just normal business people that are noticing that things are different, and they realize that in order for them and their families to continue and thrive, they're going to have to adjust, and they're looking more inward in the communities with the change there instead of, you know, mm-hmm. national change or international change. The most important thing is community right now where I live, and I know it's the same around here, you know, up at the lake, so... I just, you know, I'm very positive. I really am. I don't know really what's going to happen. I don't like to think about it too much. I just want to stay where I'm at now, and I want to just, you know, try to be as gentle and loving as I can with all my friends and the people mm-hmm. I, you know, encounter day to day.
Well, great. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and we always love your presence. You really hold that joyous, blissful, laughing energy when we do the meditations, and it really helps anchor that in, so it's always a joy to have you around.
Thank you, James. God bless you. I'm going to pass you over to Manny. He's one of our newer visitors here.
Great.
Hello?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me up here at the ranch. It's my first time, and it's been truly an amazing experience and opportunity. And it feels like a very eclectic group here with so many different so many different things to offer in terms of presence, space, and healing, and knowledge, and everything. It's been really, really enlightening in many ways. So I really want to thank you for that opportunity.
And thank you for bringing your gifts up to the ranch as well.
It's truly my pleasure. Mm-hmm. I was just spending time here and talking to people and with the 1111, and you know, really ushering in and seeing how everybody here is really focused on bringing in peace and bliss, and as you know, as you mentioned, gates opening all around just because of the intent that people are gathering together and bringing in. And over here, it was really focused on bringing that peaceful presence. Along with that, I noticed a lot in the, my own perception in terms of not only having it with peaceful presence and bliss, but also doing, you know, a lot of clearings during this time, and not just for ourselves, but for the whole planet. Because, like you mentioned the other day, when so many people do gather in such a space, the energy created can be siphoned in different ways. And people that are aware of that, like yourself and other people here at the ranch, and just sending out the intent of clearing and holding a protective space while being peaceful and blissful amongst the laughs and the giggles and the joy. But, you know, having the intent of purity, you know, for the whole planet, that was pretty eye-opening for myself. So, what I wanted to talk about, my background, being in Chinese medicine and whatnot, I had some conversations with some of the wonderful people here, some of the ladies, and talking about how to incorporate peace into actually the diet. And something I've been seeing a lot of in recent times with patients, and I went through an episode of this myself a year or so, and I brought myself out of it, and I'd like to help other people just become aware of this, especially with there's such this awareness and shift happening where we're becoming aware of all the pollutants in our air that, you know, whether, you know, that we are creating and are purposefully being sprayed. We're becoming aware of the genetically modified foods, the pesticides, the herbicides, you know, that becoming aware of all the attacks we're getting from every angle possible to really suppress our systems. And as a result of that, we've had this huge awareness of how important it is to eat organic foods, how important it is to drink, you know, clean water, and how important it is to get fresh air, and that importance. And I think that's a beautiful thing that it's becoming part of a mass consciousness. People are starting to really want that. But then at the same time, I'm seeing this double-edged sword where people are becoming so obsessed with, the organic food or the water having to be purified in a specific way and not drinking, water unless the water is exactly the type of water out of their machine that they bought for $5,000 and mm-hmm. they can't drink any other water and they can't eat this or they can't eat that. And I just wanted to bring to the awareness just on a simple, biological level, not even talking about the energetics, not talking about transmutation of food, not talking about, being able to extract energy from air and sunlight and not needing food, just purely on a day-to-day basis for the average person, what's happening in your body when you're eating, and what's happening when you're eating under stress and eating under a peaceful state of mind. Mm-hmm. And really just to be able to get a good idea of what I mean, it's good to understand that the human body, actually all mammals on the planet, but the human body it operates under two systems. It has two operating systems that govern it. And every experience we have as a human is going to fall under one or the other. And these two are known as the sympathetic and the parasympathetic operating systems. But in layman's terms, most people will know it, the sympathetic as a fight or flight response, and the parasympathetic as the heal and regenerate response. So every action you partake in, no matter what it is, either you're operating under the healing and regenerating operating system or the fight or flight operating system. And the fight or flight operating system was put in us so that if we come up against some kind of a stressful situation, our body, basically the nervous system, will send a signal to your whole body, including your digestive tract, and tell it, so situations come up right now that if we don't fight right now, if I don't punch someone right now, or if I don't run away right now, we're not even going to be able to have food to eat. So I need to borrow all the energy from the stomach, from the large intestine, from the small intestine. All that energy needs to go to the muscles. All that energy needs to go to the adrenal gland so that we can just pump everything to the muscles. And, I could either run away or fight off the bear or whatever, that the body was designed to do. So any kind of stress, no matter how small it is, on some level is activating your fight or flight, which in its core is shutting off your digestive system. So bringing this back to the diet, I see all the time people who literally will stress themselves out if they're not getting the organic food that they wanted to eat, or if they are having a potato chip and they're on some kind of diet, or if they happen to have to drink water that wasn't filtered the way they want, and you see their mind starts to become stressed, and it starts to become an imprint that they carry with them all the time. So even when they are eating the good food, even when they're eating that organic food, even when they're eating and drinking the clean water, they have this stressful imprint inside of them. So when they're eating these good foods, their digestive system is actually shut down. It's shut down because mm-hmm. they're used to operating and they view food as a stressful issue. So when they are eating, their operating system is in the fight and flight, and their stomach can't absorb all the good nutrients that they're eating. They could be eating, I've met people who have almost a 100% organic diet, but they're always worried that they're not eating good enough. They're always mm-hmm. worried about these pollutants, and they're literally starving. They're starving. Their body's showing all the signs of starvation, even though they're eating the food. And, it sounds odd, but there's a lot of medical research done where they've purposefully talked about, they've done studies on mice and rats where they will induce stress and look inside their bodies and see that their entire digestive tract over time is ulcerated because all the energy is being robbed of it. It doesn't even have enough energy to repair itself. So, my message is it's so good to be aware of good foods and good water and to constantly strive to be able to eat, you know, whether you're vegetarian, non-vegetarian, it's not even about that. It's mainly about your state of mind. So just having a healthy relationship with food. It's okay, you know, if you happen to eat something that's not organic. You worrying about that is more detrimental than that non-organic food will ever be to your body. And you can tell, you know, you see that by, I like to call it the level of degrees, where people who are really worried about drinking clean water all the time, you know. I like to say, how long does it take the body to die from dehydration? You know, it usually takes 2 to 3 days, maybe 4 days to completely die of dehydration. And if you think of it as in level of degrees, what would be worse for you, to have maybe some water that's not filtered perfect, or to go without water for 8 hours? You know, you could drink that not perfectly filtered water probably for 20 or 30 years before you start to have major symptoms, whereas if you don't drink water, you're gonna pass away in 4 years. So just start thinking about it in a level of degrees. Is that, you know, if you happen to be somewhere and you don't have access to that organic food you're used to, it's better for you to have peace in your heart when you're eating whatever you're eating, and being grateful in that moment and allowing your body to absorb it. And by doing that, the good food that you're eating, you're setting up a pattern of gratitude and absorption, so you'll be able to absorb that as well. So that's really, you know, been kind of something we've been talking about here, and yeah. Just thought it might be good to put that out there for everybody, because
it's a good message for 2011 is try to eliminate, you know, any of the stress in your life. And if you're doing a stressful job, or if you're doing a job that, you know, in your heart is, you know, having a negative impact on humanity, the earth, you know, all that stuff, it's, you know, stress is a killer. You know, it's probably the number one killer on the planet versus anything else. It's usually the core cause behind almost all kinds of degenerative diseases and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's definitely a good message for 2011 to find ways of getting rid of the stress.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Just being residing in that peace and just ushering in 2012 with peace in our hearts. Can, you know, not only help our own lives, but really hold the space for the whole planet.
Oh, yeah. I can just imagine the stress levels of the controllers right now and what they're going through, you know, because all their plans are falling apart and they're losing control. And you know, it's amazing. I can just imagine their stress levels right now.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to thank you, James. I'm going to pass the phone off to Dave.
And, great. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
Hi, James.
Hey, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm so grateful to have an opportunity to be on your show. I think this is my first time, and I want to let you know that I'm a regular listener of your show. I listen to it a lot while I'm working and you have wonderful speakers on. Your great interview, and I also want to say what a great message Manny just gave us. Well, that's a big thumbs up. You know, there's a lot of stress in my life and just about everybody I know, and frankly, you know, it's the stress that's the problem. It's not the food that's the problem, and that's my takeaway from that. I thought that was a great message.
Yeah, it does seem like our whole system is geared towards stress. And to keep people stressed out, you know, through fear, or the terror of this, the terror of that, and keeping people in base survival, and they're always stressed out about, you know, paying their bills, you know, putting food on the table and things like that. The whole program right now, you know, for a lot of society is totally based on stress, and it's very orchestrated.
Yep, that it is, and you know, I think Neil Kramer, you know, showed it to his best when he gave his workshop here. You know, they're just trying to keep us down into those three levels of those three chakra levels of fear, and so they can control us. And you know, we need to not sweat the small stuff, and we need to be thinking on a higher level, and that will help us tremendously to end these fear programs and get ourselves, you know, into that trusting, loving place where, you know, we can start relying on one another instead of, you know, relying on the governments and the banksters and the rest of the corporatocracy that's controlling the system.
Yeah, I just had a wonderful conversation with Maren, Mrs. Kramer, and Neil was there too as well, and we were talking about how, you know, we need to just stop, and when we start getting stressed out about something, take a few deep breaths and see if we can reframe that situation or see if we can release whatever attachment we have to that situation and just back away rather than jumping into reactionary mind and judging it and getting all frustrated or angry about a situation. I think those are tools that'll help us get through the days to come because we definitely are being challenged.
That we are. So so I'm going to get back to the topic at hand with the 11-11-11 and you know, tell you some of the, you know, things that happened to me here yesterday when we were having our wonderful meditations and healing sessions. You know, it was a fantastic experience for me, and you know, one of my, you know, the earliest things that we did was at 11 o'clock. We got up here and we did a wonderful meditation. And thanks go out to Michaela for leading us through some great meditation techniques that helped us, connect, you know, with our higher selves and connect with the planet and send out healing programs. One of the things that happened to me during that process was I connected with this space that, this really loving space and energy that I first became aware of when I was in Egypt. I had a wonderful experience in the Great Pyramid where I ended up sending my love out to the whole planet. And it was just unconditional love just flowed out of me. And I essentially used the pyramid as my own personal tool to connect and just give it away. And so when we were doing our meditation and we were sending love out into the planet, it was like, bam, I was right back into that place. And I just felt, you know, so much warmth going out from me. And it was great to connect with everybody at the same time because I knew their hearts were in the right place and they were doing the same thing and having their own personal experiences that were helping mankind. You know, it's a great group. And we did good work yesterday. And so then one of the other things that happened was a clearing that evening and that you led us on. And that was really one of the more joy-filled clearings that I participated in here at the ranch. And everybody was just laughing and giggling. And, man, it was great. We had so many higher beings come in on us, and it brought us into a really wonderful, loving place. Mm-hmm. I think for all of us, you know, I'm seeing the smiles around the room here. I think we all just really felt like we were being cared for on a higher level, and so I want to thank you very much for leading that clearing and getting us into that place.
Oh, you're welcome. I just love those clearings when, you know, everybody gets it and gets back into their joy and the bliss, and then, you know, releases the past, even if it is just for a half an hour or an hour or whatever. But it seems like this last meditation is it's still got people giggling. You know, it's like the energy was so high and so just pure joyous, you know, from the highest levels coming in that it's something you take with you when you leave.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I've been to a number of your self-mastery courses here, and definitely the clearings have been the biggest takeaway for me because I feel like I'm going out into the universe now, thanks to your teachings, and I'm able to clear negative spaces and help beings, you know, move on, and you know, leave the torment that they're experiencing here and move on to higher and better experiences. And so those teachings I know they've not just helped me, but they've helped a lot of the friends that, you know, that I've made here that, you know, you've helped teach. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful work that you're doing.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks for participating in it, too, because everybody helps, you know, bring in that energy.
Yeah, no, I know. You know, I hear other people talk about, you know, the clearings that they do, and you know, it's just a wonderful way to heal the planet. You know, and those around you, they benefit. You know, they may not be consciously aware, but I know that their higher selves are grateful that we're helping, you know, create a higher vibratory state, and you know, making the planet a cleaner place. For us all mentally.
Oh, definitely. You know, people have no idea, you know, how powerful they really are, and they can make their own personal God connection and use that connection to clear out any unseen negative influences and help people, you know, move on with their own spiritual evolution or whatever evolution they're on. And, you know, it is important that people do, you know, make that contact, make that connection, and then, you know, it's a power tool. You know, plug it in, use it.
yep, and that I'm doing. You know, whenever I get the call, I get myself in that space, and you know, I help move things
right on.
So
I'm sure
so
the universe is smiling on you whenever you do that.
And sort of explain the events that led up to 11/11/11, because back in August, both my wife and I were really stressed out. We knew there was some serious economic problems coming, and we were really in this, pack it away and preparing mode. It was really a bit of a fearful place, but we were also getting messages that, you know, this is what we needed to do. We needed to make these preparatory states, or, you know, preparatory efforts. Mm-hmm. And so as August turned into September, that we were getting a lot of messages over the internet about different events that were going to occur, that were going to, you know, throw the planet into a, you know, tailspin, and we'd have pole shifts, or we'd be hit by asteroids, or, you know, whatever. And as each one of these events passed, I kept thinking, you know, it's 11/11/11. You know, if we can get to 11/11/11, you know, things are going to be all good. We'll be taken care of. Because for me, you know, that number, you know, I'm an astrologer and a numerologist, mm-hmm. and that number meant a lot to me, because I know that number also represents the 11th sign, which is Aquarius, which is the mm-hmm. essentially the age we're moving into. And so I felt like, you know, as we... if we could get to 11/11/11 successfully, and if we could all unify and get our energies together, that we'd all take away something from that experience that would lift us into a higher state and get us to start trusting one another, start loving one another, and start making the plans to build that new Aquarian age that we want ourselves and our grandchildren to move into. And that's what I feel like I'm here for, is to make those efforts and make that age the best that it can be for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I know there's a lot of people that are stuck in mundane jobs and jobs that they just don't feel comfortable in, and they're just trying to make ends meet and, you know, keep the status quo going, you know, keep up with the Joneses or whatever. But that's really not what it's all about. That's not why we are put here. And there is no reason why everybody can't live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life. The abundance Absolutely. Is there. It's just a small group of people that have, you know, created this manufactured lack and the system that we're now in. But that does seem to be going out the door. I call them the powers that were are. You know, losing control very quickly, and people are rising up. And although we are in an interim stage, or the new world hasn't fully manifested yet, and the old world we're still in, you know, dealing with that. But I think if we just let go and just let the old world collapse, and focus on our energy on doing what we really want to do, what we came here to do. And focus on that for your sustenance. It's amazing how we can live, you know, a thoroughly abundant life doing what we came here to do, or what our soul's desire is, versus, you know, doing something for somebody else, or, you know, being enslaved to some other program.
Exactly. And I think you're hitting it on the nail there with the energy. You know, we spend a lot of our time and efforts trying to get enough money for the rent and the bills and the food and, mm-hmm. and really, you know, participating essentially in the control program. And, you know, like you said, we need to let that go. It'll take care of itself. We need to be putting our energies into building those bonds of trust and love that'll get people to start realizing that, you know, we don't have to make war with these guys, or we don't have to, you know, throw people in jail for petty crimes. You know, what we really need to do is start teaching people that they can rely and trust on one another and end that fear program and convert it into the love program. I think that's what the new age is going to be about.
What is? I know that wave, that unity consciousness wave, I mean, it's having a major impact. You can see it on every level. And people are just not wanting to participate in the division program and all the fear and againstness and hatred and war. And even the disease profiteers are starting to lose out. And you know, all of these programs, the fuelless energy technologies are getting ready to come out. All these old programs are just coming to a close, and they are all enslaving programs. They're based on lack. The universe is abundant, but all these other programs are based on control and manufactured lack. And, you know, they've had their course, and it's time for them to go and time for a whole new system to take its place.
I think we're in a state right now with these control people, the powers that were as it is. It reminds me of Star Wars. You know, when Princess Leia told, you know, one of the generals there, is like, the more you tighten your grip on these planets, the more these systems are going to slip through your fingers. And I think that's a great allegory for where we're at right now. Is the harder they try and enforce these control programs, the more people wake up and start realizing, you know, that this isn't what life's about. I need to be putting my energy into something better. And if there's any message I could ever send out there, it's, you know, learn to, you know, trust your fellow man. You know, send out some love into this universe, and you'll find abundance comes your way in a big hurry.
Definitely. Hey, well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Some good advice.
Thank
for
you very
the
much. I've got
coming
the
changes.
Lovely Cheryl here for you.
Great.
Okay, here you go.
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing really well.
I bet you can't get through this interview without laughing.
I know. I'm just really, right now, I'm holding it down. It wants to come out really bad. I am so full of joy and so full of love. It's
great.
Been a life-altering state. I was released from a lucrative job with joy and love, and I can't be happier that I'm not there anymore. I am coming to a point in my life where I'm finally being who I was meant to be and being authentic with people and authentic with myself and sharing the love with everyone and anyone that needs it.
Right.
And it has been such a moving place for me to be. I knew I was a loving person, but I was trained that wasn't the way that you made it in this world. And that was so wrong. And I'm so glad I'm back into this loving space where I'm home with my friends and my soul family. And it was really nice to heal the past with so many people this weekend and see the love going forward in this whole group and many more groups across the world that are going forward in love and light and just changing this planet. And I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, we always love you coming up to the ranch and especially your cooking, you know, and your service mode where you just get in there.
Well, that's something I really have a lot of joy doing.
Yeah, and girl, well, we all love it because I love to eat your food and you love to make it, so it sounds like a win-win situation.
It is, totally.
But I also love your joy. You know, you really bring a lot of joy up here and your laughter, and it helps, you know, making it all right for other people to laugh and get back into their joy.
Yes.
It's like a pump. Somebody's got to prime it, you know, get it going.
Well, I'd like to be the primer of laughter. That is for sure. And joy is where I want to be.
Great. Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show. Do you have anything else you wanted to share? Or?
No, but we have a few other people here. Brett? One moment.
What's up, James? This is Dion.
Oh, great. I was hoping somebody would kidnap you and make you come on the show.
Well, I did find my way up here, and I didn't have to go first. But I am very happy to be on the air with you, so thank you.
And, oh, thanks. You know, I can't thank you enough. My hips are back in place. Dion does this incredible body work. It's like physical therapy, but... You know, my hips and my lower back have been talking to me for years, ever since a pretty severe accident where actually I was supposed to be a cripple and in a wheelchair, but I didn't accept that reality. And she's definitely been helping me, you know, get my hips moving again, doing, you know, incredible stretches. And it's amazing. Last night I was sleeping. I go, wow, this is weird. No pain.
You know? You almost don't recognize yourself now.
No, it's like, whose body is this? I mean, where'd I find this body? So I can't thank you enough for that work. It's amazing.
I can't thank you enough for giving me the honor of sharing that and helping you feel better. So thank you, definitely. And thank you for inviting Brett and I to the ranch. There had been a lot of buildup for both of us. You know, we were getting really, really excited for this date to come around, and the 11/11 number has been really significant for me in my lifetime. My birthday's on the 11th, and you know, I've got like my birth certificate is basically like 11112, and I see them everywhere. And so I kind of knew for me it was going to be a pretty profound experience, and you know, I couldn't think of any other place that we'd rather be for it, and I was not disappointed one little bit, that's for sure.
Okay. You know, I might mention one thing, too, is that, your expertise on the didgeridoo is just amazing. I got some amazing healing work done. I got double didged today from both sides. It was great, and it was amazing that the way you picked that up just blew my mind. It's almost like your inner Aborigine came out, and all of us are still trying to get a tone, and you're already circular breathing and just playing all kinds of different nuances with the didgeridoo. And I think you're a perfect example of these child prodigies. You know how a kid will come in and just pick something up and play it perfectly and have no background in it whatsoever, and people go, wait a second, you know, how in the heck did you learn that so fast? Where did that come from? And, you know, I really do believe that I think you're an Aborigine didgeridoo player in a past life. It's only thing that makes sense. I've never seen anybody pick something up so fast.
I kept that experience close to me because I think that, I certainly wouldn't be playing the didgeridoo if I hadn't come to East City, because that's where it was introduced to me back when you had the conference this summer, and I had the most profound healing experience with it, and I got to pick it up about 4 months ago, and you're right, it's like a floodgate opened, and it's very familiar, and I just love it, and I just love the reaction from people, and I love this whole new method of serving and healing, and it's super fun, and that's the most important part, because there's a joy that can come through it as well. And yeah, so that's been fun. And thanks, E-City, for that too. And thanks, James, for letting me play your awesome didge all weekend.
Oh, no problem. You know, is there anything any advice you want to give to people as far as moving through these shifts and these changes and as far as 11/11 and beyond?
Yeah, well, I think I'll start with what Monty was talking about a little earlier with the food and the stress and really anything that exists in judgment in our environment that we look at. Our body is going to create some kind of some sort of a constrictive relationship with that substance, and food is obviously one of them. And I'll share my personal experience. Gosh, just about a week ago, and I've been a fitness professional for about 8 years, and was real strict on my diet. I did some bodybuilding, and you know, got about as anal retentive as it gets when it comes to using the substance of food to manipulate, you know, your physical expression. And so I really built a lot of belief in the power of food and the power of food to heal. But the biggest epiphany that I had this last week was, on top of all that, I guess, knowledge about food, there came a lot of stress about judging, you know, what's wrong and right for my body. And I felt like I was withering. I felt like I was sort of, like, dying from the inside. I didn't feel like I was absorbing any nourishment, and I was eating all the right things, and I cut out gluten. And, you know, I mean, I've been through the ringer with all that stuff, and my higher self, you know, an experience with that really sort of, it just told me to trust the feeling end of the equation, you know, and to allow my feelings to really be in a place of non-judgment when I do eat. And it was like a dam broke, and I basically said, screw it all. I started eating gluten again. I started eating chocolate and sugar, all the things that I absolutely love. And I woke up the next morning and I had color in my face again. And then I woke up the next morning and these muscles that were like totally sore for a super long time were not sore anymore. And then the next day, you know, something new happened. And the next day, and of course it's all reinforcing my personal knowing that, you know, yes, there's different foods. They have different vibrations. They react with the body differently, but they react in your body based on your belief structure, your belief system, period. Mm-hmm. And I believe that healthy foods and organic foods, you know, take a lot less to, I guess, transmute. And, you know, that's why people get healthy results from them. You know, they are more resonant with the Mother Nature. They are, I guess, they have more of a gentle vibration. And, you know, our body is, you know, built to, I guess, operate more in harmony with all the philosophies that it takes to grow these foods and to process them and all the moral things that come behind all that and all the, you know, basically the entire energy construct of the food. So there is definitely a validity to that, but it's still in this third dimension. And there's I think, ultimately what controls our physical expression is beyond that. And so that's been my real big epiphany, is to just stop worrying about it. And to the extent that you can really let go of that belief that things are harming you, and this is included in really all dimensions, I think. The more that you can release that, the more that, you know, you're removing any barriers to the incredible flow that's coming in right now. There is so much love coming in, and we can look at all the nasty things in the world and entrain our body's vibrations to that. And, you know, believing that something's wrong or that, you know, the world's falling apart or that the systems, you know, it could all, you know, yeah, there's all sorts of things that could happen, but where are you in your moment?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the highest truth that I'm really coming to. And you know, I got a really strong message from some really awesome beings that really just chill out and just relax and just have fun and to stop using your frickin' brain so much, because that's been a problem for me too. Not problem, because there are no problems, but you know what I mean. It's been the mechanism that's created my resistance is all the judgment and all the, you know, how I've really relied on my intellectual strength to make it through life. I'm really having to rely on something completely different now. And it's just feeling good and trusting that everything's okay.
Yeah, it's a good space to be in. You know, it helps you flow with these shifts and changes. And I noticed that if you get into that other space and you get real resistant to change and you try to control what's coming, you're going to have a really heavy-duty experience. I mean, something that's going to just knock you right out of the driver's seat, you know, until you realize that your spirit is in control, your soul is in control, and it's yeah. time to turn things over to the God within, or whatever you want to call it, yeah. and start paying attention to those impulses and dropping back down into the heart.
Yeah.
And you know, moving from that direction, you know, versus letting the brain just run you all over the place.
Yeah. Well, the saying that it's all smoke and mirrors has really become very
yeah.
true for me lately too. And mirrors meaning, you know, we have our reflections all around us, our relationships, our family, our friends. And, you know, I think a big piece of advice that I like to share with people, and I remind myself of by sharing it with people constantly, is that anything that you are feeling sort of an emotional charge about, you know, sort of judging something that another person's going through, whether you feel bad for them, whether you feel hurt by them, whether you feel less than them, greater than them, they're all reflections. And, like, literally we have masters all around us just waiting us to teach us more about
mm-hmm.
ourselves. And so these emotional charges that you get, you know, are literally like neon signs pointing right back at you saying, okay, there's a part of you that you've yet to own and love.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've really kind of, that's become my guidance system more and more lately, is when I do see and feel an emotional situation kind of come up, you know, I guess I react completely differently because I've really stopped, I guess, externalizing, I kind of have really been owning my place as a creator and stopped sort of externalizing all the dramas that I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been,
it makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, the more that I cooperate with that process, the easier it gets. And I feel just totally, you know,
yeah.
my body feels great. My heart feels great. My heart feels open for the first time in, gosh, my entire life, I feel like. And, yeah, I mean, it's just awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always walk that line. It's kind of an interesting line to master loving detachment, but it doesn't mean you don't deal with things in the moment appropriately. And the, you know, there are universal laws, and we need to start applying those to everyday life and hold our leaders accountable to that. But, you know, if we are warring with the people that are warring, you know, that's just double war. You know, that's
yeah.
just war on top of war. But we can address the issue and say, hey, this is wrong. You know, we need to stop it. We need to start serving and helping people, not blow them into oblivion and steal all their resources. There's different ways of dealing with these situations versus adding to the you know, the energetic mess that's going on there.
Yeah. I got real sort of emotionally involved in the Occupy movement for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Olympia, and there's an Occupy Olympia group that started, and, you know, we're all kind of proud to see that, you know, Americans aren't really, you know, taking it anymore, and we're really seeing through what
mm-hmm.
the man's doing and all that stuff. And I was all for it, and then I realized that every single one of the people down there, you know, was there as a result of, you know, they manifested that situation in their life. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like when I showed up there, I was trying to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there trying to fix things, it was almost like I was not acknowledging the perfection of the universe, and I could actually feel the tension and friction in my body, and I actually just started getting sick the more
yeah.
that I was going down there. And, you know, I was going down there really as a peacekeeper and a person, you know, this is my angle when I came down there. You know, I really wanted to help people be the change that they want to see in the world and occupy within.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. It's so much,
I mean,
so much
really
more important to drop down.
Is going to come from
into the heart, and
yeah,
and you can't march
yeah.
for peace unless you are at peace.
Yeah,
and you can't end war until you end the war within yourself.
But I went down there with the intention to fix people so that they would come from that angle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was almost like an oxymoron, and I actually had to retract a lot of the energy that I was putting into that because, you know, I started getting kind of a bigger picture and sort of seeing how everything was sort of playing out, and I just stopped mm-hmm. worrying about it.
I have a feeling this movement, you know, it started off, you know, with a lot of people with good intentions, a little bit of misdirection, and some of the sponsorship behind it might not have been as what people thought, you know. You know, there were people that just really want to collapse the whole system here and throw everybody into the dark ages.
Yeah.
But what I think it turned into is this 500-pound gorilla that got away from them. And,
yeah,
and then people started waking up and going, whoa, wait a second, you know, like, yeah. And they all started focusing on the real problem, which were some of the guys that were, you know, trying to capitalize on this whole situation. So I think what happened is it's in a way, it started out maybe on not such a good note, but now it's moving towards a really high note, and then people are really seeing the real cause behind 99% of the world's problems.
The whole world gets to see it now. The whole world gets to see it now, but now they also get to look at a really big mirror.
Yeah.
You know, it's our lifestyle and it's our choices that really feeds the cancer that we're all looking at and saying, oh my God, there's a big cancer on the planet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that it goes right back to that Occupy Within. You know, we have to see how we each contribute to the system of, you know, sort of built upon the false premise of all these, but all these values that aren't necessarily supporting life. And, you know, I think that, you know, I think that's really where it's going to come from. And, of course, if we have this whole inner transformation, then automatically and literally effortlessly, all of the energies on the planet start moving in different directions and feeding things that promote life. And so I think it's going to end up looking like a really organic process, you know, when people start really catching on to the idea that it is such an inner to outer experience, you know, and instead of the outer to inner, which is what we've been operating under for the last, you know, 10,000 mm-hmm. years or whatever, however long this particular cycle has lasted. But
yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's sometimes there's old habits and there's been training and some very deep programming, you know, that people are now finally realizing, you know, how much they're carrying. And it's probably a series, I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I think it's a series of steps of, you know, just begin going in one direction, you know, start trying to live a little greener, you know, a little cleaner, you know, learn to simplify, you know, you don't need all those outer, you know, things to be loved and accepted and approved of, you know, by society, you know, that all comes from within. And I think people are starting to love and accept themselves and stop jumping through all these other programs and hoops. And it's just it's a learning process, and some people are going to get it right away. Some people already got it, and some people will eventually get it.
Well, that programming that you're talking about, this is another sort of, like, I guess, prime piece of advice that I give people. All that programming shows up in your body as constrictions. You know, mm-hmm. your body being the sort of the expression of your subconscious, and gosh, I tell people to stretch. Stretch your body back out. Find the things that got tight, James.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Find the things that are tight in your body and start to open them all back up. And you're also opening, you know, things on so many dimensions that your awareness, especially in the particular areas of the body correlating to the chakra, correlating to the mm-hmm. emotional, you know, construct or whatever, or the trauma that may be still sort of being held in the tissues, you know, find those places and just realize that all this pain and suffering that's in your body, you know, that's not really the norm anymore. And I believe this, you know, my generation and all the generations to come, and God, I hope the generations that are all here right now I really hope that we all sort of take the baton and run I guess, having more of a baseline of knowledge for us to really know ourselves through our bodies, and to have one hell of an awesome manifesting time here in this 3D. But stretch.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and thanks for, you know, sharing with people, and definitely, you know, everybody here has something to share and a message, and I think if we combine all these messages together, we can get a pretty good blueprint for, you know, what we need to do and where we need to go in the days to come.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Well, thank you so much, James, for having me on the show, and you got time for a little chat with Brett?
We definitely do. Yeah, this is awesome. A two-hour show now, so we've got another 50 minutes or so.
Hey, James, it's Brett.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be on the show. It's the first time I've ever called in to a radio show, so yeah. Mm-hmm. New experience. I just kind of wanted to come on and share a couple experiences I had yesterday. The first one, I was lucky enough to do a cord cutting treatment with Cheryl, who was on the show earlier, and you know, she went through and cleared a bunch of cords off me, and I had one that was very powerful, and I basically got the notion that that cord that needed to be severed was a past life trauma where I was in the jungle somewhere hunting a gorilla, and it went pretty bad, and my left leg was ripped off, and I subsequently died from it. I don't know if they tried to save me and there was like a long drawn out death process or what, but it was I think it was my first past life memory that I ever had. Yeah. And the interesting part was I really felt sorry for really trying to hunt the gorilla, and I just felt total love for the gorilla. I mean, it was it was one of those experiences where it was just like, I totally deserve that. And, I don't know, it's just a big, interesting experience for me.
Yeah. And I always say I hate that when a gorilla tears one of your limbs off, you know.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was very comfortable. Interesting.
I think those gorillas are a lot smarter than we take them for, and definitely, you know, a chimpanzee is something like, what, 7 to 9 times stronger than a human as far as their arms. I mean, how many humans, you know, can grab a branch and swing themselves up with one arm, you know, up into a tree? Not very many, and I don't think it's a good idea to try to match them in survival, you know, or hunting or those kind of skills, because you know, they can really mess you up, you know, if they want to.
That's definitely true. Yeah, and also we were doing the clearing last night. The energies that were coming through were very intense, and there was a lot of laughter and joy going on. For me, I wasn't necessarily getting any urge to laugh, but I could feel a lot of stuff just surging through me, and I really felt like I was right on the edge of being able to just levitate.
Oh, nice.
I've never had that experience before, but I was really, for a moment, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do this, and so I was really concentrating on trying to levitate, but it didn't. It may have worked out, but I'm not so sure that it did. But it was, yesterday was just a really powerful, intense day for me, and it was great.
Yeah, great. Well, I love to hear all the different experiences, you know, and it is good for people to share, because everybody's unique, and everybody has their own experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, some people might just run out of the room and say you're all crazy, you know, and that's their experience and that's where they're at. And it's really okay, you know, for them to be there. You know, it doesn't matter. But eventually, you know, they, with enough people, when they get it, start waking it up, it's like, you know, it's like the 100th monkey. People, everybody's going to get it. You know, enough people start, you know, releasing the past and shifting and healing, pretty soon, you know, the whole planet's going to shift.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And for me, you know, my first time coming down here was this spring. And it happened to be my birthday, and I was lucky enough to come down with Dion, who was previously talking, and her dad, Tom, from 100th Monkey Radio.
Uh-huh.
And he really, you know, just, it was really interesting how he really wanted to take us down here, but he did not really give us too much information on what to expect. And it was really, I think, a really good move on his part to kind of just leave our expectations out of it so we could just experience what we experienced. Mm-hmm. And ever since that day, I mean, we basically seize every opportunity we come across to come back here. And every time we come back, it's like a little kind of adjustment or a jump start to kind of set me off on my next step that I mm-hmm. really, you know, had no expectation of what that was going to be or any clue what it is. But it's you know, whenever I leave here, I really can feel that whatever is coming for me, you know, very quickly. And the progression and the growth is just amazing.
Right. Yeah. Well,
it's a great place.
Keep up the good work, and you know, keep the evolution going. And you know, thanks for coming and sharing your energies as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks for having us. I'm gonna go ahead and pass you off to Michaela here.
Great.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, Michaela. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I know somebody probably twisted your arm to get you on the show at my request, but I'd love for you to talk about, you know, what was really nice is that, you know, I went into town early to get some studs on the car because we've got some nasty weather coming, and went in really early, and I was planning on being back, you know, way before 11, and then it turned in, had some other problems with the vehicle, and then a radiator problem, and it was overheating, all these other things, you know, blocked me from getting back right at 11. And when I finally got back and I saw this wonderful meditation was already going and that you were leading it, I was just going, all right. You know, it was like a major pressure release for me, you know, that I don't have to always be there. It was wonderful to see that people are doing their own thing and continuing. And it was great that you know, you stepped in and did your wonderful, I'll probably say it's not Qigong. It's, what's it called again?
It's, it is a form of Qigong. It's called Tiangong.
Tiangong.
Tiangong, yeah.
Yeah. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about it. I mean, everybody had a blast in there, and they were doing like a cosmic communication process and some other things. But I'd love for you to talk just a little bit about you know, what you teach and you know, hopefully just, you know, a brief overlay of what, you know, you observe with people that were doing the class.
Yeah, definitely. A brief history of where the practice comes from. The foundation of Tiangong lies upon a 1,400-year-old practice called Bronze Bell, and it's actually a spontaneous practice, which, if you don't know what that is, it's a whole other topic. But it's incredibly healing, and it's been used in China for the past 1,400 years. Only the past 300 years has it been shared more generously. Prior to that, it was just passed in secret. But yeah, the grand master of the practice, Leitian Dasha, who I've studying under was taught this practice by another grandmaster. And he was actually, Lei Tian was very sick man, or a very sick little boy growing up. He could hardly, he hardly even went to school, you know. But when he did go to school, one of his teachers told him to do Qigong and practice bronze bell, which is what the spontaneous practice is called. So he did, and he ended up having a complete transformation of his health, became incredibly healthy, and also opened up to higher beings that were helping him along the way and teaching him more practices. And so he ended up being able to spread this practice all around China. Millions of people in China have practiced it. And he came to Berkeley about 10 years ago, where I met him about 2 years ago only, and have studied under him. The practice itself, it deals with both physical and soul healing, which a lot of Qigongs just deal with the physical part, but this deals with karmic cleansing as well, which was what you ran into during our class. The meditations we were doing, we did three different meditations as well as singing a song. The first one is called Celestial Pagoda, and that basically what that does is it connects us with the universal energy fields and the earthly energy fields and the human energy fields, and it brings those into resonance. So that's how we start those meditations. And then we go into an open heart practice where we basically picture our hearts as lotus flowers blossoming into the heavens, and we end up connecting all of our hearts together, forming a group heart, and it basically just generates an immense amount of love that we then go and send to Mother Earth, to all the animals, all the plants, all humans, any being that's in any pain whatsoever, and just sending love and healing to them. And then we do what's called Celestial Cross, and that's where we utilized what everyone was talking about when they were talking about talking in tongues or the other languages that people were talking about. It's actually, basically, we call it Celestial Language at Tiangong, but it's the language of the soul, and babies speak it. Maybe people listening have heard it too. It's in many spiritual communities I've run into where they're just doing it already. Basically, it's language without any restrictions or without any standardizations. So it allows humans to go into emotional areas in their past or present that they're unable to reach with a standardized language because the barriers aren't there. Yeah, and so we were using this for a healing method in order to basically apologize to Earth for harming her, apologizing to any being we've ever done harm to. Basically, it's just like owning up to the fact that we have caused a lot of harm throughout all of our lives here on Earth, and apologizing and forgiving ourselves, and not being too hard on ourselves about it, but just owning up to it and acknowledging it and then releasing it. And this in turn has amazing health benefits. It really promotes good feng shui of like good energy fields, keeps everything really clear. It also helps a lot with yin sustainability, which is a term that Lei Tian Da She has coined, which is basically sustainability. You know, like most people, when they think sustainability, they think of recycling or permaculture or not wasting water. But there's also to everything there's a yin and a yang. And so most people are thinking of the yang side of sustainability and keeping the earth healthy. But what they're missing is the yin side. And I know that you, James, acknowledge that every day, where you are acknowledging the yin side and clearing spirits on the land, helping people clear their karma. And so it's all working with the exact same things, really. Just clearing, because basically it's like every time we think a negative emotion or a negative thought or something negative towards somebody else, it creates negativity in the energy field. So it's really important for us to manage our thoughts and always be aware of what we're thinking so that we can help to create a positive energy field. It's really simple. But it helps, you know, like if you go into forests, many forests are sick because there's poor energy in the forests now because of how people are treating them with such a lack of respect. And we can actually go into the forests and heal the energetic properties of the forests. And in turn, it results in many nature spirits who are very, very happy with humans because they feel that humans are doing the right thing then. But yeah, it... basically, these practices that we were practicing works with all of that. It works with clearing past karma, works with clearing feng shui, and it just makes people happy and healthy. It has amazing health benefits. I know someone had, I believe it was Monty, who had said he had a backache, and while he was doing the open heart practice, it just went away. He said he had had it for a while, and it was gone. So I told him to come to me in a couple weeks and tell me if it's still gone. I think that.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how, you know, I found if people can get back into the moment and release the past, and for that moment, if they can do it in a space where they just totally can focus on whatever loving, joyous, blissful thought they can manifest and just hold that, that a lot of their aches and pains just mysteriously vanish. You know, and I've had, you know, with 1,000 people, took people through a meditation once, and all these people came up to me and they said, well, my back just healed, or my arm, the pain just went away, or this or that. You know, they're going, thank you, thank you. And I just said, I didn't do anything. You know, it's like, it was, you know, basically, I said, you're the one that let go of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what, it's amazing how if you can just get into that space, into that whatever, some people call it a zone or whatever, that it's amazing how much healing can happen when you get totally 100% in the present moment and release the past and quit holding on to those old programs, that your body will straighten itself out.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I've heard stories from this Leitian Dasha where he's talked about people who are in their deathbeds about to die and bringing it back to the, like, just apologizing simply and letting go. A man was in his deathbed about to die and called Leitian and said, I'm about to die, like, please help me, please help me. Because he's a very revered healer in China. And he was like, well, you must have done something wrong, just apologize. And the guy laying in the bed was like, oh, okay. You're right. And so he started doing this celestial cross practice and apologized and instantly was healed and was just completely healthy afterwards. Like,
nice.
It's so cool how these things are happening.
I've noticed that lately that's what I've been doing is going back through my own books, you know, and really thinking about how, you know, I might have harmed people, not in a way that, you know, not on purpose, but just because whenever you put two humans together with, you know, different beliefs and old wounds and traumas, you know, that they're all carrying, you know, things come up. And you know, there's times when you're with somebody and it's not working out, and so you decide to move on or whatever. And, you know, there's all kinds of things. And I've had the opposite, you know, where, you know, people have moved on, you know, that were with me, you know, and, you know, all kinds of just old junk like that. And, you know, I started going through, like, everybody that I was in relationship, everybody I've been with, you know, everything, and started, you know, really trying to walk a path of just pure honesty and integrity and you know, good communication, and started cutting all these cords from the past. And through apologizing and just, you know, each person saying, you know, forgive me if I've, you know, harmed you in any way, or misled you in any way, or allowed you to mislead yourself, or didn't communicate clearly, you know. And then I ask, then I go, okay, I want to cut any psychic bonds, any unfinished business here, and gain the wisdom from this experience. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, how much your health comes back to you, and how much you're being drained by all these old ties and old bonds, and by not forgiving and releasing the past. It's it has a real heavy toll on your yeah. even your physical body, not just your mental, emotional body.
Yes, certainly. It is amazing. There's a good method. It's the Hawaiian Ho'oponopono method, mm-hmm. and I know that Masaru Emoto, the water man, has used this as well. The four phrases: I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. Have you heard of
yeah.
those? Those are really great. I know of a lot of people who have had really profound healings with those, just using those simple words. And it's great for, like, just the average person living in a city who doesn't really necessarily want to put time into meditation and stuff. They're really great tools. Just saying, like, if you're in a fight with someone, or someone's yelling at you, you don't even have to say it out loud, but just in your head saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. It's amazing how much everything will shift when you just kind of, like, apologize and just kind of take the blame yourself.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it doesn't hurt. It never hurts. A lot of times people think when you take the blame that it's like losing, or that it's a failure, or it's going to really hurt you, but it actually doesn't. It ends up just, like, dissolving it completely. So it's a good tool for any of the listeners who just want something really easy. Those four phrases
yeah.
are great. And I know masters who are using them, and I know just the average people working at a car dealership use them. So
I know that, yeah, there's a lot of people with that, with forgiveness. They think it's a form of weakness, or it's going to make them vulnerable again to make it happen again. And they really want to hold on to the past and keep those defenses up and everything else. And they end up magnetizing the same event to them over and over again until they own it and heal it and do forgive it.
Yeah.
So I love what one master told me. He said, you want to get even with your enemies? He said, forgive them.
Nice.
And yeah, and I go, and I asked him, I go, what do you mean? He goes, when you forgive them and you release it, you totally release it, it goes back into their fields, and then they have to either heal it, or they're going to draw something to them for their lesson, for their experience. And so he said, you shouldn't think of it that way about getting even with somebody, but he goes, that's the way it works. And you know, and sometimes that's the only way people can forgive, is to realize, like, wow, I don't need to carry this. I don't need to keep recreating the same lesson over and over again. I don't need to live in fear with all these defenses and projecting them on others, you know, when they aren't necessary. And also, it's a very powerful thing. Love's the ultimate power in the universe. And, you know, forgiveness is a form of love. And maybe it's time that we all start looking at that, you know, versus defending our egos and their little belief systems and whatever else is going on.
Totally. I fully agree with you, James.
I like that old saying, yeah, the ego is the only thing that needs defending.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Yeah, the spirit is totally centered, you know, in its acceptance and approval and love from the source itself. So there's nothing there to defend. You know, it knows it's eternal, and that's where we need to connect in and operate from.
Yeah, definitely.
And well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and also for holding that wonderful meditation this morning. And I looked like everybody there loved it, and had some extreme benefits from it.
Yeah. Also, I'll just shout this out. If any of the listeners want to know more about it, you can go to the website, which is tiangong.org. That's TIANGONG.org. And there are classes all around the Bay Area, and there are classes in Seattle, and potentially soon to be in Spokane. And yeah, if you want to know more, just go to the website.
Great. Yeah, and they can also, I know we're going to be hosting some classes here, as we did some earlier in the summer. Probably as soon as the spring and summer starts opening up again, I'm sure we'll have you, you know, teaching those classes here as well.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great. Hey, well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Have we got any more, anybody else there that wants to come in and talk about 1111?
Let me check. Okay. All right, we got Tom for you.
Great.
Hey, James, how you doing? It wasn't me, by the way, that ripped off Brett's leg.
Oh, okay. That's good. Hey, we should get Shay on the air here too, if somebody's there. We should hear what she had. An amazing experience here as well. So maybe after you, we can drag her up and get her to talk about her experience. But anyway, welcome to the show. And for those that don't know who you are, maybe you should talk about Tom's one of the hosts on The 100th Monkey, another BBS show, and if you want to talk a little bit about that, it'd be great.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to mention a couple things about the whole 1111 thing for me.
Great.
Besides my own focus on that and wanting to see that 100th Monkey effect here on the planet, and am still looking at this whole man-made date of, I'm saying man-made date because 11-11-11 was the numbers and the day that it happens to be yesterday was all done by man. But we have taken those numbers, humanity has taken those numbers, and they've assigned a significance to them. And through that significance, it has brought us together in a unified purpose. Mm-hmm. And that unity is what I see as being one of the biggest keys for us stepping out of the darkness. And right now, what I'm watching and what I've been watching for the last couple of years is basically the apocalypse. I mean, the great revealing. We are watching people become aware of their surroundings. They are becoming aware of the system that we live under. They're becoming aware of what and who we are. The divine child that lives within. And I'm just in constant awe, and even more so since Ramon and I started doing this show a year ago, and I'm coming closer to those people who are out there shouting it out and pointing to the doorways, saying, look, there's something over here, look, there's something over there. You know, I'm getting closer to these people, and I am getting just totally my jaw droppingly in constant awe of who and what we are, and watching this whole thing unfold. This whole 11-11 thing. Yesterday, I just felt it, such a calming energy through the whole thing, and that really makes sense to me. Thinking back on some of the experiments that have been done in the past on meditation and the effects meditation has on society. I mean, there's one in particular that I mentioned on our show a few times about back in, I think it was the 70s in Washington, D.C., there was a relatively small group of meditators that meditated for I'm not sure exactly how long they did, but they meditated for a while, and the crime rate in the city dropped 75%. So that calming, it calmed that environment there. And if what I suspect I will be seeing here in the near future, or even now, is happening now, is that calming effect of so many people, the millions of people around the world who participated in some form or fashion with this whole 11/11 thing, and projecting out that energy of peace and love and unity and truth, that we watch it unfold in such a peaceful and aligned fashion. You know, I just see it. I see it all the way around. So.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely an unfolding, and it does seem like events that could have turned really hostile that were actually, you know, they had agent provocateurs, and they're trying to turn them into hostile events, you know, and gatherings, have maintained that focus of you know, holding a space of peace, but also walking tall and demanding, you know, their universal rights, you know, to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life. I mean, there's no reason why we can't all do that. And we all watched a wonderful movie, Thrive, a little while ago, most of it anyway, that pointed out, you know, exactly why we don't have access to that, and what's behind it and what needs to change.
Right. And a lot of that is, you know, we've got to realize that the whole structure that we're living under is a lot of it is a reflection of ourselves. You know, we've projected, we got to own a lot of this, our own selves. We have to take a look at ourselves, and if we had done this in the past, if we had taken a serious look at ourselves in the mirror and you know, done the work ourselves in the past, on the scale that we're doing it now, we wouldn't be in the situation that we are right now.
On the other hand,
you know, there's always the idea that, you know, this is all set here, and it's all playing out the way it's playing out to give us a solid contrast for what we have coming for in front of us. I mean, you have to have some kind of contrast, or you don't really know you're happy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so we're getting the real heavy dose of the really, really nice and disgusting and nicely disgusting and the really nicely disgusting and to give us that wonderful contrast so that when all that is by the wayside and we have actually pulled our heads out of our other parts, then we really enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. I always say, you know, you never know what you want until you manifest a lot of what you don't want, and then eventually, you know, you figure it out. And I think it's very clear now that we've manifested what we don't want, and we're seeing it very clearly. Thank God, you know, Obama did come forward and give us a transparent government. I mean, it's very transparent right now, and you know, and if people can't see how corrupt and how insane it is, you're just not paying attention. But, you know, anyway, I always tell people, well, he promised transparency. And I go, well, are you paying attention? You know, it's like, it can't be any more transparent.
Yeah,
you know,
seriously, it is pretty transparent now. You definitely know that they are definitely bending you over.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and, it's very clear now. Yeah, it's very clear now who's pulling the strings and who's puppet and where things are going and that, you know, John Doe Public is getting the short end of the stick throughout this whole thing, you know, which is about soon to change. I don't know how they're going to pull off any more of these crazy bailouts and debt people, you know, forever under an enormous debt while the fat are just sitting back clipping coupons. But, you know, that's that can't go on much longer.
You know, I had a guy come up to me the other day at work. He was he called himself. He says, "I am as average as you can get." He said, he came up and said, "Tom, what do you think about all this stuff going on, this in the world, this banking stuff and this Occupy stuff?" He says, "You know, I didn't really pay that much attention to it, but there's a bunch of crooks running this place." And he said, the one thing that really got me is he said, "I'm about as average as they come." And
yeah.
I was like, that really hit me. I was like, oh, wow. And this guy, he's like 65. And he's mm-hmm. finally seeing this stuff. And that really, really gave me a glimmer of hope. I was like,
yeah.
All right. So if this guy's as average as they come, then the average guy is really starting to wake up. The average guy is opening their eyes, and they're actually starting to pay attention and
mm-hmm.
show some kind of concern for what's going on instead of just sticking their head deeper in the box, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, how, you know, in the books Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods, how all of this was mapped out and explained what was going to happen, what was going to unfold, and even goes into the future a little more. But and it's all unfolding right on cue. And back in 82, you know, people looked at you like you were nuts, and you're telling them about the escalation of earthquakes and the volcanic activity and the just fanatical weather and storms and the solar cycle and how everything's going to increase exponentially. And they just all think you're a nutcase, you know. And then you tell them about the international banksters and their plans for humanity and the suppression of all this fuelless energy technology and healing technologies. And, you know, way back in, you know, I was talking about in the 70s, but I actually wrote about it in 82. And now it's like everybody's talking about it. It's amazing. And, you know, before, what was that 20 something years ago, you know, you're branded a kook, you know, or a nut, you know, if you even talked about this stuff.
Yeah. So James, I'm going to jump off here. Shay came up and I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a chat with her. And I want to plug my show real quick. Tomorrow at 3:55, we have Paul Levy on, and we did that show from here at East City, and it turned out really good. So check
Great.
Us out tomorrow on BBS Channel 2. Here's Shay.
What time is it?
Hi.
Hey, Shay. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Hello out there, everybody seen and unseen on this frequency and on all others.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to have you on the show because I know you've had some amazing experiences since you've been here, and I know you have some good advice in there as far as what people need to do and some of the changes we can make or things mm-hmm. that'll help us, you know, get through coming days.
Absolutely. I feel like, I'm realizing, and, you know, we're constantly being reminded again and again, and the more that we open up to just really having trust in the universe and trust in our part and process in the universe, you know, things become much more apparent. I mean, I have, for this 11-11, as soon as I came up here to the ranch, I mean, I cannot express how much more timely that I was guided and just all the right things. I made the right efforts, and because I did that, you know, and I had my heart open to so many possibilities, the things that have been returned and are still returning, I'm just experiencing in such an undeniable way. When I came up here, you know, I have been coming out of some very, very, very very challenging, as I'm sure so many of us are kind of having these accelerated, very, very condensed, almost like we're in a pressure cooker. I know a lot of us are feeling these really, really intense experiences, and they're all coming to us, you know, in very, very different ways. And, you know, our response and how expansive we can experience each of these challenges that we're going through, you know, it's really up to us. And I, like I said, you know, I've come out of some very difficult things. I've had to make some really, really challenging and what I was experiencing as, you know, traumatic choices. And I have been having a very, very difficult time. But yet, at the same time, I'm also, you know, really, really learning to understand that what are the gifts? What are the gifts in these challenges? And, you know, when I came up here to ESETI, there's just been one beautiful synchronicity after another. And, you know, for us to be able to kind of tap into that flow more and more is something that, you know, I wish for all of us, because it's such the, it reminds us of kind of the behind-the-scenes divine intercommunication, all the behind-the-scenes juicy stuff that's going on behind the scenes in the cosmos, which is a part of our life. And we get to experience it firsthand, and it never gets old. You know, every time that happens, it's always more and more exciting and beautiful and wonderful, and it's such a breath of fresh air and encouragement, and to know that we're supported on so many levels. And, you know, James, you and I and Pam, we had our incredible clearing session, which I'm still processing and absorbing, and it's still really, it's going to continue to unfold for me, but just to really be so, you know, validated and supported in my experience, and to know that we are real, you know, we have like this behind the scenes like cheerleading crew, I feel sometimes, like, you know, that is like rooting for us, and we're rooting, our higher selves are rooting for us, and, you know, it's just, it feels so good. I mean, my heart is just feeling really, really expansive, and without a doubt, I cannot deny that there are so many friends on so many levels, you know, and it's that time. It's that time for, I feel, for like all of us to kind of really come out with our gifts and come out and play, you know. And I myself have been a person who has, I feel like I've had to go through a bit of kind of isolate myself for a while. And I feel like it was necessary, you know, and it was necessary, and it served a very big purpose. I had to kind of really collect and solidify my energy. But I feel like right now, though, is also a big time for us to come out and, like I said, like just play and really share our gifts and step into our power and also learn how to, you know, discern and draw boundaries. And, you know, these are all very common themes, I think, that so many of us are really becoming more and more aware of and experiencing so much more. So, yes. Mm-hmm. So power to all of you who are on your path, and I just really, really wish for more of us to just keep empowering ourselves and surrendering to the best within us and becoming the highest version of ourselves.
I know, like, you know, you coming up to the ranch and so many others here, when they come up to the ranch, they realize there's this whole cosmic cheerleading group, you know, that's actually Lonra. We actually guided them to come up here, and then after they come up here, they make that connection and then find out who they are and what their connection is to these beings. And
absolutely, and that's been something so, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm really still processing all of it, but to, you know, I think that a lot of us can, you know, undeniably, so many times when we really come up for air, we can really feel very, very benevolent and supporting energies that are, mm-hmm. and forces that are in our life. I know that all of us have, you know, power to the people who feel this very, very often, you know, and are kind of more tapped into that flow, like, all the time. But for me, you know, and James, you and Pam helped me with so much with this, was actually, you know, because you are connected in a way that, you know, I'm desiring and going to do work to kind of keep going further in and being connected on the level that you guys are, that, you know, you were able to actually see some of these beings who are helping and supporting me, and even, you know, I have names now that I can refer to. So it really, you know, it takes that to a whole other level, because it personalizes it. It's becoming so much more of a real, almost tangible experience of connecting with these forces and understanding who they are and what they are and all of the, you know, it's becoming a richer relationship.
Mm-hmm.
With these really powerful energies in our life. So, I'm really moved by all of it. And
I think one of the main problems on the planet right now is basically we've forgotten who we are, and we've forgotten that we have family throughout the cosmos, and we are eternal beings, and we have all these wonderful connections, you know, waiting to reconnect, but we're just stuck in this fog of being, you know, disconnected and under the belief that we're not loved by anybody and that we're all alone. And these are all just programs that, you know, it's time to let them go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is our work for this time. You know, we have a lot of work and a lot of realizations and a lot of, you know, reconnecting to do with, you know, truths that are the very essence of our being. You know, I think that's so much of what we're going through right now, is reclaiming what really truly is essentially our birthright. And not only our birthright, but who we are and what we're made of. And for whatever reason, you know, in this time and in the past, at least 5,000 years of our collective history, we've had this, you know, whether on a soul level, you know, we're having this kind of voluntary experience of cutting ourselves off. I mean, there's so many different ways you can look at all of it. But yes, we have had this very kind of old experience again and again, you know, that where we have cut ourselves off, and we've been cut off as both, you know, from all of our divine rights. And that's all changing, and we're all waking up from our long, deep slumber. And so, yeah, it's time to stretch, like, you know, our spiritual legs and tentacles and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely, definitely feeling that. And obviously, you know, you go through certain times, and when you're in certain places where it gets amplified. And, you know, for all of us who know, I mean, I'm knowing now through experience that, you know, being here at the ranch is one of these PowerPoint places which really triggers a lot. And you know, there's something truly, you know, I'm seeing all the people, beautiful people who are here. And, you know, these are all people who are, you know, embracing and ready to work and ready to love and laugh and really engage in all of this and all of these, you know, these times right now, which is such a great opportunity to wake up gracefully. So, you know, I just want to share that, you know, I was sharing with James earlier, I was having an experience. I've been having a prolonged experience of the most intense grief I've ever experienced in this life that I can consciously remember. And I've been experiencing such pain that when I even just to think about the things that I've been experiencing, tears just kind of involuntarily start to fall. And, you know, I was expecting when myself and James and Pam, we were going to do, you know, we were doing a clearing, that for sure, without a doubt, you know, that I was going to be crying and releasing a lot, releasing through tears and tears and tears, because if I even start to talk about it or if I even start to think about it, the tears just start rolling. And I was so amazed, you know, because I could not have foreseen it. I couldn't have planned for it or anything. It just happened. I mean, amazingly, like, no tears came. I mean, I was truly just swirling in bliss and feeling such undeniable energy and support and, you know, initiations. And it's been so beautiful. And actually, I've been very, very surprised, like, you know, when I think about what I've been experiencing. And, you know, I'm still feeling everything, but it feels like I've passed a marker. Like, it's truly, you know, all of you here in this environment and the people who are here and just the space that everybody is holding has been such a catalyst for me to kind of cross over and to move into the next level of this experience, you know, and start experiencing and bringing in and viewing and embracing and embodying the gifts that, you know, this challenge, these challenges for us, you know, are giving me. So
well, that's a good note to. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We've gone hair over the thing, but you know, it's a great note to leave on. And
thanks,
I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Everybody.
And keep up the great work.
Great, thanks. Bye.
All right. Hey, well, I guess we're out of time. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. A lot of good advice out there. Stay tuned. Wake up. Step into your power. And you know. Be you. You're the only person that can do it. Good night.